2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. It's a short verse. Why don't you all read it for me? For we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's say that again. For we walk by faith and not by sight. He's talking to who? The church here. Paul's talking to the church. We walk by faith and not by sight. It also talks in the scriptures, the just shall live by faith. In Romans and Galatians and Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. That means we conduct our lives by faith. I like some of the other translations. The New Living Translation says, for we live by believing and not by seeing. So we're not to be moved by what we see, but by what we believe. Now that doesn't mean if you're in the middle of the road and a trailer truck is coming down, you say, I don't believe that. Well, you better get out of the road because we're going to have a funeral. So, I mean, some people just get silly with things, but we're talking about here things that are promised for you in the Word of God. We believe by faith that we receive them. That's what we're talking about here. The 20th century New Testament says, for we guide our lives by faith and not by what we see. We guide our lives by faith. Faith in who? Faith in God. Faith, what is Proverbs 3? It says, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So we need to acknowledge God in everything that we do. We guide our lives by faith, or we could say trust or confidence. Now let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And this is kind of where we'll be here for a little bit. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. And these are some basic principles, but I'll tell you, they're just, I love feeding upon the Word of God. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Now faith, I'm going to read from King James and a few other versions here. Now faith is the substance. What is substance? That means it has some, it's just not air. I mean, well, air has some substance, but it's tangible. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. That means your faith is the evidence of something not seen. You're believing for something, you don't have it yet, and your faith is the substance of things not seen. And Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto God, or he that cometh to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It means we have to diligently, we guide our lives by faith. You've got to diligently seek him. So I want to focus on three points. I'm going to focus on point one today, and then we'll pick up on some points as we move along. But these are three basic points. If you know what something is and how to get it and how to operate in it, you're there. I mean, if you know what money is and how to get it, then all you really need to do is know how to operate in it or how to use that which you know how to get. So if you know what faith is and you know how to get it, then all you need to do is to know how to activate it and operate in faith. So that's what we want to do today. We want to look at what is faith. See, because you've got to know what it is before you know how to get it. And then once you get it, then you know how to operate in it. But you've got to know what faith is. And, you know, a lot of people have a lot of ideas of what they think faith is, but we need to look at what does the Bible have to say about what faith is. We just got done reading it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith, and I want to read this in the Moffat's translation. I'm going to read from a few translations, but I think as you read different translations, it helps to give you a better definition of what faith is. Sometimes the Old English, it's good, but it helps to read more modern translations. This is the Moffat's translation. It says, "Now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see." I like that. Moffat's translation says, "Now faith means that we're confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see." This is the Knox translation. What is faith? It is that which gives substance to hopes. So faith is something that gives substance to something that you're hoping for. Which, and then it goes on, it is that which gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us. Faith convinces us of things we can't see. So right away, you can see here, there's two things. In order to have faith for something, hope has to come first. You've got to have hope before you can have faith. How can you have faith for something you don't even hope for? You can't. Because faith does what? Faith gives substance to something you're hoping for. So what do I mean by that? You've got to have, another word for hope would be, let's say, desire. You've got to desire something or hope for something. First of all, you can't hope for something that's not promised by God. That's right. You know, people hope for things. I hope to have this, and you go, that's off limits. I hope to have your clothes. No, you don't. Go buy your own. So, I mean, people do silly things, but first of all, hope has to be something that's promised by God. And then it's scriptural. Then I can desire that. What does the scripture say? What things soever ye, Mark 11:24, what things soever, because we're talking about faith now. Mark 11:24 is talking about faith. What things soever ye, what? Desire. What? When you pray, believe. Same thing. So I believe for something that I desire when I pray. It says, and you shall have it. So something you hope for would be something you desire. But it has no substance. If you just desire something, then it has no substance because faith gives substance to something I'm desiring. But I've still got to desire something that's promised by God. But how does faith come? See, well, that's jumping ahead. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith then, when it comes, gives substance. What does it do? It convinces me that I've got something that I've been hoping for and I can't see it. I don't hope for something that I possess. Why would you hope for something you already have? If you pull money out of your pocket, why do you hope for it? You already got it. If you have, I mean, you could hope for another job, a different job, a better job. You could hope to be married. You could hope to have children. But you can hope for that. That's something you could desire. You could hope or desire that all your immediate family be saved and be born again. You could hope for that. But when things don't work out too well, you better have some faith. Because faith convinces you of something you desire. And when it doesn't look good, see, you could hope that you have the money to meet the financial obligations when you need it. You could hope for that. You could say, I desire that all my bills are met. But you better have some faith, because faith gives substance. Faith adds to what you hope for. What does that mean? It convinces you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And it convinces me that I've got this that I've been hoping for. I have it. So you've got to have hope first. You've got to desire something. And then as I feed upon the word of God that promises me that, faith comes. And it convinces me of something. But sometimes people are just hoping. They're not feeding on the word of God so that faith comes. And so sometimes when people get into jams in life, they're just hoping. I just hope God does something. Well, you better get beyond that. I'm hoping and praying. I'm hoping God moves on my family, or I hope my father God does something here. Well, you got to be beyond hope. Hope has no substance. Faith gives substance to something hoped for. Is everybody seeing this? Hope does not have substance. Faith gives substance to, or it convinces you. You know, maybe that's a better word. We keep saying substance. Faith convinces you of something that you can't see. You can't see the money you're hoping for. You can't see the person that you desire to be married to. You can't see this new job. You can't see it, but you desire it. But faith, when it comes, faith is of God. When faith comes, it gives certainty. It convinces you of something you can't see. Everybody, I'm going over this a few times. So you never hope for something you already possess. You don't need that. You hope for the unseen. You hope for something unpossessed, something you don't have yet. That's what you hope for, right? But you've got to hope first. Hope does not give substance. I'm going over this again. Faith gives substance. Faith convinces you. Hope is in the future. What have we just got done? I'm going to touch again here. We're going to go a little further. Hope is something you desire in the future. I desire a new job. I desire money to meet my bills. I desire a mate. I desire healing in my body. It's in the future. I don't have it yet. But what have we just got done reading? Now faith is. Faith says, God promised this. Faith says, I've got it. I have it. And yet I don't see it, but faith says, I have it. That's what supports. See, when you read some of the other translations, let me read this here. It says, the Berkeley, it says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. In other words, it's something I've got now. Faith says, I got it. This is exactly what Mark 11:24 says. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive what? When you pray. That means now I've got it. I have it now. Faith is now. Faith takes something now, and it undergirds or supports, it convinces something that convinces me of something I don't have yet. But you've got to have desire and hope. You have to have it. And you've got to have faith, otherwise you just stay in hope. You just stay in hope. I hope I have this. Well, you won't receive it. You won't receive it. Because, and I'll tell you why you won't receive it. James, just share this, James 2:17, it says, even so faith, we're talking about faith, if it hath not works or an action. Faith doesn't have an action, is dead being alone. So faith is an action. And some of the translations say, thus by faith itself, unaccompanied by actions, is dead. So faith says, I have it now. I've got it. Yes. When you, let me use an example. I desire to lose weight. I'm making a statement. You desire to lose weight. If you just desire, you ain't losing any. You'll still be heavy or have those few extra pounds. You can stay there and desire all you want, but until faith comes and motivates you and moves you to lose it and do something, you'll stay overweight. You can desire all you want. You can watch all the exercise videos until there's an action. Amen. You're going to need to buy some new clothes. That's all the way it is. Faith has to have an action. Faith has got to act upon what it believes. That's just what it is. So hope or expectation, I expect to get something, or confident expectation is important, but it cannot replace faith. So this is what we're talking about. What is faith? Faith is something that is an action, but faith is something that is taken and believed now, and it does what? It adds to or gives confidence to you for something that you desire. And this is a good way to locate yourself. Am I in hope or am I in faith? If you're in faith, you're doing something. You're saying something. Otherwise, you're just hoping for a change, and it won't change. It will not change unless you get over into faith. So faith, again, gives substance to something hoped for. You can hope for your healing, and my faith gives substance to that which I'm hoping for. And you get past that point. So faith will always say what the Word of God says. Faith will always say what the Word of God says. Here's another thing, another point. When you get out past or outside of the Word of God, you're not in faith. Because then you're just believing something that's not promised. I'm talking about the God kind of faith. You're not in faith. Not the God kind of faith. If you're out past or believing for something that's not promised. Let me read a few other translations here. The Contemporary English Version. It says, faith makes us sure. See, I like that. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for. See, so hope doesn't make you sure of something you're hoping for. Faith does. You can desire for something, but faith makes you sure of something you're hoping for. What does that mean? I've got it. And you know you have it. And it gives us proof of what we can't see. The New Living Translation says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. So faith says, this thing's happening. It's going to come to pass. And nothing can shake you off it. That's faith. So I desire for something, and when faith comes, I've got this. It's going to come to pass. Even when I can't, and again, in this case, and you can't see it, but you're convinced it's coming to pass. Faith is not, if faith is not now, then it's not faith. Faith means I've got it, and you say that you have it. You talk it. I believe I've got this. I believe that I have money to meet this obligation. I believe it, and I know it's coming. I don't see it, but I know it's coming. I'm convinced of it. This will help locate you as to where you are. So faith, there's two ingredients to faith. There's two ingredients to faith here. Believing, what is 2 Corinthians 4:13? We having the same spirit of faith, we believed, and therefore we did what? We say, we speak. So the two ingredients to faith are believing and saying. So when you start, and the reason I'm saying that is because when you are in faith, when you have faith, you are confident, you're convinced of something that you desire, and you say it. You're not, well, I sure hope so. Well, you're not in faith. That's not faith. Faith is convinced. Let me see here. How many have ever gotten a bonus on their job? That's something you got. Or they promised, you ain't got it yet. They said, you're getting a bonus. And so for all things considered, you trusted your employer, right? And you go around telling, you told somebody before you got it, hey, we're getting a bonus. And you already are planning on how you're going to spend it. And you don't have it yet. But you're talking about it because you believed. And because you believed your employer, you don't have it yet, and you're talking about it, and you're spending it. But you don't have it. That's faith. That's a natural kind of faith, but I'm talking about the same principle. God says, as we heard this morning, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Sure don't look like it. Well, you're not in faith. Because faith, my desire is that God meet my need. He promised it. He said he would. And so my desire is that he would help me meet this obligation. Now, faith says he promised it. I have it. I don't know how it's coming, but it's coming. And faith is convinced of that. Now, if you're not convinced, I'm going to share how you get convinced. I'm going to share how you do that. Because you're already doing something. So faith... Again, faith sees the impossible and knows it's possible. You know, I was sharing this a couple of weeks ago. I kept hearing this in my heart. What does your faith see? We're to look at things not seen. The scripture says we're to look at the things not seen and not things seen. And so... this was the question the Holy Spirit said to me. What does your faith see? Because if you're basing your faith on things that you see, it says we are to look at things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. I'll give you another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's a scripture, it says here, verse 18, while we look not at things, at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'll give you another scripture. Want another? No? Okay. Well, you're getting it anyways. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection or mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What does that mean? Things above, things not seen. So you're to set your affection and mind on things not seen rather than things seen. We're to walk by, keep going back to this, we're to walk by faith. Faith is the substance of things, something hoped for, promised, the evidence of something not seen. So we're always to be walking in a mode of faith, believing God for things not seen. And you can't please God without faith. So if you're always walking by, well, I ain't got it yet, I don't know, we'll never get that, because you're not pleasing to God. You're not in faith. You're to set your affections and mind on things not seen. Things above. So, here's something I wanted to share here. How does one get over into faith when you say, and this is more of, you know, how you get faith, but faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And you may say, well, I'm a new Christian, I'm just not sure, I don't believe that yet. Or maybe it says to be spiritually, to be carnally minded is what? Romans, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So I may be at a point where I'm not in faith yet. I'm in hope, but I'm not convinced of something I don't see yet. Maybe you're at that place. Nothing wrong with that. That's just where you are. How do I get to a place of being absolutely convinced? I'm confident of this. Well, Brother Hagin used to use this term. He said, you can school yourself or train yourself into faith by what? Feeding on the word of God. Just meditate on it and speak it. Yes. Apply those principles. Believe it and speak it. Just believe it and speak it. You say, well, I don't believe it. You keep feeding on the word of God and faith will come. You will school yourself over into an attitude or a conviction of faith. Let me say something. A lot of us are already doing the opposite. You're schooling yourself into doubt and unbelief, because why? You fixed your attention on the problems and the negative, and you keep thinking about it. What does he say? Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. So when you fix your attention on a problem or a negative and you keep thinking about it, you keep mulling it over, you keep, yeah, them jokers, this, that, and the other, ain't got no money, and got this, got bop, bop, and you keep thinking about it, and you keep talking about it, you may not be in doubt, but you will move yourself and train yourself over into doubt using the same principle. You will move yourself from believing or neutral to doubt and unbelief about something if you continue to meditate on the problem or the negative or what you don't have. You know what's interesting to me? People pay thousands of dollars to get pumped up at motivational meetings. We won't name the people that do. I'm not negative speaking, but I'm saying they will encourage you to speak positive And they'll say to you, just keep seeing yourself be a success. Just keep speaking success. Hello. And you will move yourself over into a place where you'll be convinced, I'm going to do this. But you didn't start there. So they're training you to believe in yourself and believe in your ability. Well, here God's saying, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Faith in who? Faith in Him. Faith in His ability. The Word of God, what does it say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to who? To the Jew first and to the Greek. And it's to those who believe. And so it's amazing to me. If you're in that neutral zone, so to speak, you're not in doubt, but you're not over here convinced, just keep taking the Word of God. Feed on it. Keep feeding on it. Keep feeding on it. Keep speaking it. You go, well, I don't believe that. Right. You don't believe doubt, but you keep feeding on it and talking on it, and you'll get over here, over into doubt and unbelief. Same thing. If you're here, just keep speaking the Word. Just keep feeding on it. Just keep meditating on it. And you'll move yourself over into conviction and confidence in that which you don't see. What does Joshua 1:8 say? Let not this word depart out of thy mouth. Keep it in front of you. Keep meditating on it day and night. Observe to do it, and you will make your way what? Prosperous. That's what we're talking about. So if you're just in hope and desire, that's good. But faith will give conviction, will give you assurance of something that you're desiring and don't see. If you will apply these principles, I don't care what it is that you're hoping for or desiring for, you say, well, that's nice for so-and-so, but I don't know, that's kind of too big for me. Set your goals high. You know, some would say, you know, I hope to do something, whatever that hope is. You know, I'm always amazed, you know, young children or young adults will say, you know, I hope to get an education. Well, they got past hope. They hoped to do it. What did they do? They got up off their rusty dusty and applied and spent the money and did something. You know, they prepared. And so here's the thing, I'll make this comment because it helps locate all of us. You know, when Minister Joe, sometimes I get blessed at hearing what other people are sharing, and Minister Joe said, God can make us all millionaires. That's true, He can. And not even dent, as they say, His bank account. But here's the thing. Some say, yeah, I hope to be a millionaire. Okay, it's like somebody who says, well, I hope to be married. Well, are you still your same so-and-so self? Or are you preparing yourself to be a millionaire? Are you preparing yourself to be married? Are you doing something? Or are you just going to be your same, as I say, your ugly self? Are you doing something in your life to make yourself better for that mate that you say you desire? Are you preparing yourself to handle $1 million? What are you doing? You say, well, I want to be my own entrepreneur and businessman. Are you preparing yourself? Or is it just all talk? Is it all talk? See, if it's talk, then it's just hope. It's a desire. But if you are convinced that you are going to be an entrepreneur, guess what? Then you do something. You begin to prepare yourself. You begin to find out, how do I run a business? How do I operate? What do I need to do? See, otherwise, it's just hope. And I'm going around this thing a whole lot of different ways so that, you know, we're not just speaking from a Bible standpoint, but we're adding some application or some thoughts that maybe you didn't think of. Because a lot of people have all these, yeah, I'm going to be a millionaire. Okay, good. What are you doing? Because if God dropped $1 million in your lap, you probably wouldn't even know what to do with it other than spend it. See, but I'm saying people have thoughts about these things, and I'm making some points here that hope is desire, but faith is an action. Faith is an act. Faith acts. If you're convinced that you're going to do what you hope for, then you will move in that direction. You will act. You will act. And that's what we're talking about. I hope this helps you a little bit. So faith gives substance to things hoped for. If you don't hope for anything, faith has nothing to give substance to. So you must hope for it first. If you have no hope, then you have no faith. How could you have faith for something that you're not hoping for? You can't. So you got to hope. You got to have a desire to do something. So in the area of like here, in this example here, in the area of healing or financial needs met or baptism of the Holy Ghost or deliverance from habits, there's another one. I hope to get rid of the smoking cigarettes. Okay, then what are you doing? Or I have a drug problem, or I have a pornography problem, or whatever that problem is, what are you doing? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith convinces you that you're delivered. How does one, if you're not there yet, if you're still, I heard this minister share this. Person came to see him and said, you know, can you help me? He said, yeah, I can help you. He said, what's the problem? He said, well, I got this problem with smoking cigarettes. And he said to this person, he said, will you do what I tell you to say, do? He said, will you do what I tell you to do? He said, yeah. He said, every time you smoke that cigarette, every time you pull a cigarette out of the pack, you say with your mouth, I believe I'm delivered from these cigarettes. He said, even when I'm smoking? He said, yep. Every time you pull that cigarette out and you smoke it, whether it's a cigarette or a joint or whatever you're shooting or smoking or drinking, same principle applies. I'm just using this. So he said to this guy, he said, just keep speaking. He said, you mean to tell me when I'm smoking? He said, yep, every time you take a puff, you say, I believe I'm delivered from these cigarettes. And he said in 2 weeks' time, he said this man was standing on the corner and he went, ooh, and threw it down and never smoked again. Because what happened? Faith came. Faith came. Faith came. He schooled himself over into a place where he went, I'm free of this. And the power of God went into operation. Faith came. And that's no different whether it's a habit, whatever habit you have, whatever it is. It could be eating. It could be fear and worry. It may not be, you know, drugs or smoking or something. It could be fear and worry. You could say, I believe I'm delivered of fear. You mean while I'm worrying? Yes, while you're worrying. You just keep saying, I believe that God has delivered me from this. One is faith. Faith is right now. Faith says I have it now. Yes. You mean even when I don't believe it? Yes. You keep saying it. Because how does the person get over into fear and worry? They keep saying it. I'm so worried about this. I'm so fearful about this. And they move themselves over into a life of fear and worry. So this is what I'm talking about. These principles, if you'll learn this, every obstacle that you run into in life, you can apply these principles if it's promised by God. You begin to speak those things that you desire. And God will lead you. He'll show you what to do. Here's another scripture here. Let's go to Matthew 21 and 22. This is what got me over in life and things. Every time something confronts me, I speak what God promises. Sometimes it takes time, sometimes it doesn't, but it will come to pass. Matthew 21, 22, and it says, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." He didn't say, "All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, hoping." He said, "Believing." That's faith. Faith believes it has when it prayed. Not hoping. Hoping's in the future. "Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Hope's future tense. Remember, hope is future tense. Hope says, "I'll get it sometime." Faith is present tense. Faith has it now. It's now faith. So desire or hope has to come first before you pray. Mark 11, 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire or hope, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Let's go over to Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. I'm going to share another scripture. I'll read this to you. You don't have to turn there, but Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. Wait a moment till you get there. But when we talk about the word desire or hope, here's another scripture. You know, we started the year reading 1 Corinthians 13 and reading those 13 verses. I still read them every day. But what's chapter 14? What's the verse? Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, and the first verse, it says, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." So a lot of people say, "Well, I desire to have spiritual gifts operate in me." Hope. How does one, in order to operate in spiritual gifts, you've got to go beyond hope. I desire spiritual gifts, but you've got to, it's promised. God does what? He operates as he desires through his body, but you've got to begin to go beyond desire and say, "I believe that spiritual gifts operate in and through me." You've got to go past desire. Everybody understand? I know it's quiet in here, but I'm making you think today, because hope or desire is future tense. Faith says, "I have it now." So Romans chapter 14, or 4, Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "As it is written," we're still talking about what faith is, And this answers that. Romans chapter 4, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was, about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So you can see here, and we're going to pick up with this next week, because I know I've shared a lot today. But faith, if when you look at this, what faith is, faith believes what God has promised. So when you look here, first of all, this says here, faith speaks about something not in the future. He said, I have made thee. I have made thee. Not going to make you. I have made you. Faith says you have it now. I have made you a father of many nations. And faith calls those, and as he said, even God who quickeneth the dead, and does what? Faith calleth those things that what? Be not as though they were. That's things not seen. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Here's faith. According to that which was spoken. So faith is believing in something that was spoken. And he said what? Faith doesn't consider something seen. He considered not his own body now dead. And verse 20, faith staggers not at the promise of God. What is it? You believe God's word. You're convinced of it. That's faith. Faith staggers not. And you know the story, how he offered up his son Isaac. And so I believe Abraham was so convinced, God asked him to sacrifice his son, which, you know, some people say, well, how could God do something like that? I don't know. But I believe that Abraham was so convinced that he was convinced that God would raise his son from the dead, which was really a type when you think about it. He didn't have to go through it, and he said he knew he would have.
That's right. That's right.
So faith is convinced of something. It's a conviction of something not seen. And how do we move that needle, so to speak? How do we move that needle from unbelief or neutral over into conviction or confidence? You keep feeding on the word of God. Feed on that which is promised. Let not this book of the law depart from thine eyes. Keep it in the midst of thine heart. Meditate on it day and night. Think about it. Talk about it. And speak it. Observe to do. And you'll make your way prosperous. I've heard so many stories. You know, I remember Mrs. Hagen was sharing a couple years ago. She fell on her back or tailbone, and she must have damaged something. She said the pain, you know, was excruciating. It was just beyond something that you could handle. Went to the doctor, and the doctor gave her the strongest medicine that he could. She said it did nothing. And so finally she just said, forget this. And the doctor basically said to her, you'll have to live with it. She said, no, I don't. I'll have to live with this. And she began to speak. You know, Brother Hagen said to her, this is what you do. He said, you keep saying with your mouth, I believe that the power of God is working in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. And it's correcting this. And she began to speak this. She said, if I said it 100 times, I said it 1,000 times a day. I just kept saying it and saying it and saying it through the pain, saying it, saying it, saying it. And she said, after about a couple of months, the pain began to subside and it went away. It went away. And so this is the victory that overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes every single obstacle that you face in life, even your faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in His Word. And it will overcome it. God's Word is full of power, full of life. And it'll change something that in the natural appears that it can't change. You know, I remember hearing Brother Keith Moore, he shared this. He said, you know, those people, he said, that have, you know, their own business or entrepreneurs, he said, never, ever say, well, this is the slow season. He said, you don't say that. He said, my business is running over. Don't talk like other people talk. We're not of this earth. We live in this earth, but we don't regulate our lives by the principles and the standards of this world. We've got a better covenant. We've got the Word of God to allow us to overcome things in this earth that maybe trap other people. And so, you own a business, you speak good things over your business. You hope for something, and your faith gives substance to what you hope for. You hope for something not seen, but your faith takes it now and says, I have this. I have a prosperous business. Business is running over. And here's the thing when I say this. Don't try to figure out how. God's the performer. You're the one that's supposed to believe Him for something. What does the scripture say in Romans? Those that are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. All we're to do is to believe Him. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that will lead us into, what does He say? He says, I watch over Jeremiah, watch over my word to perform it. Jeremiah 1:12. So He's the one that will watch over it to perform it, to make it happen, make it come to pass. You just speak it. So when I speak over my business, I speak over my family, I speak over what I set my hands to, God's the one that'll wake you up and say, go over here and do this today. Call this person. Do this. Do that. He's the one that will lead you to fulfill what you're speaking. He's the one that will do that. You ain't got enough peanut brain to figure it out. Neither do I. We don't have enough intelligence to figure out how to make something and fulfill something. We don't. Because if you could, why would you need Him? He's the one that gets all the glory. He's the one that we're to put our trust in. It didn't say trust in yourself. It said lean not to your own understanding. Trust in Him. Have confidence in Him. Believe in God that as I speak, He's going to lead me today to be prosperous and peaceful and fulfilled with everything I do. I mean, if you're in school, don't worry about, oh my God, I got all of these finals. No, you begin to start saying, I believe God that I have supernatural recall. I believe God's leading me to spend my time wisely, to know how to study. He's going to give me favor and show me what to study, how to study. And you begin to say it. And I'm telling you, you will prosper. Same thing. With getting a job, you might be coming out of school. You say, I believe God's opening up doors for me that no man can close. I remember working here, you know, as many years at the ministry. There was a man I worked with on the sound for years. And he was an MIT graduate. He had intelligence. He had brights. He had smarts. And you know, he was worked for Mobil, and then he did some things there, and then he ultimately landed with Hess, and he's still with Hess. He's a senior VP now, and so he said to me, you know, he'd come and work with me in sound, and he'd chase up out of the city and come and be at his post, and we'd run sound for years and choir rehearsal, and he'd be on his BlackBerry doing things. And he'd say, well, I said, what are you doing? He said, well, you know, I'm coordinating a shipload of oil, you know, and so contracts and multi-million dollar contracts and so forth. He worked directly with Hess, directly for him, you know, before he passed away. But now he's like, you know, he's up at a very high senior management level. And he said to me one time, he said, Ed, he said, I ain't smart enough. He knew he had intelligence, but he said, God has opened doors for me that just sometimes amaze me. And so he was faithful in his church. He was faithful to serve God, and God opened these doors to him. And so that's what I mean. God can open doors for you that just will boggle your mind sometimes, with favor and blessing, but you got to go beyond just hoping for it. You've got to believe God that he is for you and not against you. I wish above all things that you do what? Struggle? No, it says prosper and be in health. We have a better covenant. I mean, when Israel was obeying God, they were blessed. They were blessed. And so are we. Amen.